Our gracious Heavenly Father, our Creator, God of heaven, God of peace, God who is our everything, the Lord who dwells in such a divine, beautiful, great throne, the unapproachable light which was revealed to every one of us, for we are all called into thy marvelous light. Thank you, Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Deliverer, our Healer. Thank you, Lord, the Teacher who teach the good things, for God is good. The Teacher who teaches the love, the true love, for God is love. The Teacher who revealed the true light, for God is light. Thank you, Lord, for teaching every one of us to understand who you are and where do we stand in thy blessed assurance, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the loved ones that we have in our life, for there is no other love other than the love of God. And thank you, Lord, for the agape that we receive from one another, the family of God that has the truth of who is our Savior, who is our Creator. For the Bible says, there was nothing made without Him. For you are the Creator of all things, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for touching every one of our hearts, that we understood thy loving kindness. We experienced the touch of the Lord. And Lord, we bless your holy name, O Lord, for such a blessed separation. You saved every one of us, and you helped us, O Lord, to find shelter in the strong tower of your name. The whole world is running behind power, jealousy, greedy, money. O Lord, you blessed us, O Lord, that we would not follow the worldly desire, but rather, O Lord, we follow the ark. We follow the leading of the Spirit. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for the scripture that we are holding in our hands. But Lord, if those words are not reflected in our life, it is nothing but a book and papers. But Lord, we pray, may you confirm what you want us to learn from the scriptures, so that we may all conform to the image of God, to the word of God, that we may all walk as the moving, living, speaking, singing scriptures in the world. For you call all of us to be a lighthouse, to show the light, to show the love, to witness the truth, to proclaim the death of our Lord on Calvary. For you died for our sins, O Lord. You resurrected to show every one of us that life cannot be a slave to death, for the life reigns supreme. Thank you, Lord, for the power of resurrection, the Holy Ghost that has been given to every one of us, O Lord. We are encouraged, we are edified, we rejoice in thy presence, for today is the day the Lord has made. Thank you, Lord, for assembling us as your congregation, as your family. Thank you, Lord. We pray that you be with us today. Walk in the midst of us. Touch us, Lord. And Lord, speak to our hearts, O Lord, for we are called to change. For we are called to repent. For we are called to submit as a living sacrifice before the high priest. For the high priest will examine our hearts. And the fire of the Holy Ghost will burn us. And the ashes, O Lord, will be considered for the purification of sin, that we completely surrender on the altar of sacrifice. In Jesus Christ's name, I bless everyone who is standing here as one bride of Christ, one family of God, and all the brethren joining us from different corners of the earth. When God is the builder and the maker of the mansions that we dwell in, the same way when Nehemiah was building the wall, he mentioned, we are all separated upon the wall, but when the trump utters the divine blessed sound, and the trump blows, everyone will gather. And Lord, we are waiting for the coming. We are waiting for the voice of thy coming, O Lord. May you assemble us as one body of Christ, as a whole. And until then, O Lord, help us to understand the purpose of fellowship, the importance of fellowship, that we gather one with one another, sing songs unto thee, edify and encourage one another. For we are called to pray together, to heal together. for the divine healer is in the midst of those who gather in his name. In Jesus Christ's name we all pray. Amen and amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless you all, dear brethren. We thank the Lord. We are here today. Reach the promised land. It is not about the enemies. Amen. The sacrifices were not made as a protection for God's people from the enemies. No. But the sacrifices were made to protect the people from their Creator. For God is righteous. His judgment is true and divine and holy. So the animals which were not given the choice of saying yes or no, if the Lord commands the priest to sacrifice a goat, then the goat will be sacrificed. The priest is not going to ask the goat, I am going to sacrifice you, are you willing to say yes or no? There was no such questions, because the goat has no say. The dove has no say. The heifer has no say. All the animals were sacrificed in the Old Testament. They were not given a choice to speak because they cannot speak. And they cannot think. And they cannot rebel. But when you pull a beast to be slain, if the beast looks at what's happening to all the other beasts, let's say there are thousands of goats were being sacrificed in the time of Hezekiah for some big gathering. When the animal looks at another fellow animal sacrifice, this animal will resist just to escape, because it is all about survival for that beast. Amen? But when Abraham took Isaac to the mountain, did he ask Isaac? Isaac is not a beast. Isaac is not an animal. He is a beautiful creation of God. Abraham did not ask Isaac, I'm going to sacrifice you. Are you willing to accept this or not? Did he give him a choice? Or did he ask him? If Abraham says, my son, we have reached the summit. Now I'm going to tell you the truth. Why you were carrying the woods all the while? It is nothing but to kill you. And the woods are to create the fire. If Abraham says, my son, I'm giving you a choice. If you are willing, the sacrifice will go ahead. If you are not willing, we can go down and we can tell the Lord, we reject you. There was no such discussion. There was no such conversation between the father and the son, because the father knows the son and the son honors the father. In that agape, God called Abraham to sacrifice the son, knowing that his word will never go in vain. Amen? Which means if God tells Abraham sacrifice, God knows Abraham will sacrifice, because he is talking to his very own creation, which means he put his trust in his word. The part of the word will get the job done. And in getting the job done, there is a resistance of the flesh. There is the battle of fear and faithfulness. So a red heifer was called to be sacrificed. And we all know that the land of Israel has already received the red heifers after a long, long time. And they are being prepared for the perfect time. But in the wilderness, the red heifer was sacrificed. In the book of Jeremiah, heifer was compared to a backsliding beast. And then the Lord gave a name to Israel, backsliding Israel. Return thou, backsliding Israel, why you are falling back and going away from me? Return thou. Is it a request or a command? I will explain what is a request. Dear Israel, my dear Israel, let me call you backsliding Israel if you accept my name, if you accept my proposal, and I'm requesting you to return to me if you are willing to return to me. I'm looking for your answer. That is called request. But God did not request Israel. The same way Jesus did not request the disciples, come and follow me. It was a command, was an instruction. There was no choice given. And God tells the same thing to Israel. He did not say, can you return or will you return? He did not say, are you willing to return? No. He said, return thou backsliding Israel. Let there be light, and there was light. If the Lord says, let there be a return, and there shall be a return. It's a command. It's a command which means that whatever God has spoken, it shall come to pass as it is. So when we read the scripture, we have to look at the words. The Lord always speak for Israel in such a fashion of commanding them. Commanding them means, I want you to do this, and I know that you will do this. They may fail, they may make mistakes, but that is a period of blindness, but that is God's grace and mercy for the Gentiles. But even in the midst of their fall, the Lord reaps the harvest. And even in the midst of the fall, the Lord is teaching them a lesson. But when he said, return thou, they will return. Because God did not say, you may. God says, you will, you should. So this is the focus for the last two Sundays for every one of us, as we are called the Gentiles who received grace and mercy because of God decided that we will be called to his marvelous light. We will claim the inheritance by the blood of Christ on Calvary. So we Gentiles, the seventh church age, the bride is preparing herself. Do we have that surrendering in our life to the point whereby the Father in heaven, same as Father of all nations, Abraham, who took the accountability of his son Isaac, he did not even ask his permission when he took him to the sacrifice. But when he revealed the purpose of the sacrifice, the son said nothing. He simply went and laid no light on the sacrifice table. So this is where the word backsliding kicks in. Imagine if Israel is compared as backsliding Israel, where Isaac is a promised son. Amen? Israel, that is Israel. Isaac, the promised son. Isaac. So now this Isaac, what if he behaved like a backsliding Israel? Father tells him, come, be a living sacrifice. And son tells him, beat me if you can. If you want to defeat me, come. Let's fight. David fought. Jacob wrestled. Many servants of God, they wrestled. But they wrestled not God. They wrestled not God's work. They wrestled not God's servant. They wrestled the adversary sent by God. In a way, God wanted them to wrestle. David wrestled Goliath. But when the father called the son to be a sacrifice, son did not wrestle. He simply obeyed. So we understand the purpose. When Abraham and Isaac had a conversation on the top of the mount, which is also a representation of Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was praying and the word of God surrendered, submitted to the will of God, the Father in heaven, saying, let it be done according to thy will. So that submission does not give a room for backsliding. What if Isaac backslided? What if Moses backslided? What if Joshua backslided? The entire multitude will backslide. Why? The Lord has set them to lead them, and the Lord set his anointing upon them. If the king fails, my brethren, the kingdom fails. Amen? If the king falls from grace, the kingdom will fall from grace. Why? If by one man salvation enters, by one man, damnation can enter also. Because God is righteous. He cannot be partial. So, the heifer is a warning to every one of us that we should not resist the move of the Holy Spirit. When we resist, the Lord would say, backsliding. When we doubt, the Lord would say, backsliding. When we have some sort of a confusion, the Lord would say, backsliding. Do you know what is a true backsliding? Having doubts in your heart. We sing songs and we say, the Lord is with me, the Lord is in me, I am the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost. But yet, we doubt, we fear, we bring confusions. The Lord would say, backsliding. We can do everything top notch in the outward appearance. But the Lord look at the spiritual inner man. Backsliding, as a backsliding Israel. So now, we will start from here. Why the Lord called them as sisters. Treacherous Judah, backsliding Israel, your sister is better than you, kind of a comparison. Even Sodom and Gomorrah was compared as a sister. So now, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 21. Let's continue from where we left last Sunday. Chapter 3, verse 21. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 21. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel. When Jesus Christ was walking towards the Calvary to be crucified, he was carrying the cross and he saw women were crying for him. What he said? Don't cry for me. Weep for you and weep for Jerusalem. What are you here showing some sympathy over me? I'm doing this for you. You are the reason I'm shedding blood. You are the reason I'm carrying the cross. You are the reason I'm sacrificing myself. You just cry for me. Cry for yourself. Cry for Jerusalem. Weep for you. Weep for your children. He mentioned very clearly, weep for your children. He did not say, cry and die. No. He says, have burdens. Receive godly burdens. Because without godly burdens, remember the verse I mentioned? The ministers of the Lord stand between the altar and the porch and they weep. And they cry unto the Lord saying, spare thy people. Which is, Lord, have mercy upon your people. So Jesus Christ is telling them, don't show mercy on me. I show mercy on you. You better receive godly burdens for your children, generations after generations. So without soul burden, none of us can follow Christ. Children of Israel, for they have perverted their way and they have forgotten their Lord, their God. He is the Lord, their God. 22, return ye backsliding Israel. And he called them backsliding children. Because he reminds them, you are still my children. You are not the children of Jacob. You are my children. Return to me, my children, and I will heal your backsliding. So, my brethren, if backsliding has to be healed, isn't it a sickness? A divine healer says, I will heal your backsliding, which means backsliding is a spiritual sickness in the sight of God, for God is spirit. I will heal your backslidings. But we always want to use the word restoration. Yes, I fell, but the Lord restored me. Because it feels good to say that. Instead of saying, I was sick, the Lord healed me. Was I sick? Why should I say I was sick? I'm not sick. It just, I had a bad time. A rough time. We always try to put the words in a good way. So that we represent ourselves in a good way. And God will be smiling at us. Is it being truthful? But we will be truthful to doctors. We will tell him all the sickness that we have. Whatever we go through, we exaggerate. We will add so much flair, so much flavor. If we feel the pain 6 out of 10, we will go with him 15 out of 10. I feel like I'm dying. Do MRI on me. Do X-ray on me. Do whatever you can because I have insurance. I'm not going to pay anyway. So we maximize our sickness in the sight of doctor, physical doctor. We maximize our problems in front of a physical advocate in the world, but we always underestimate, downplay, and minimize everything in the sight of the divine healer, the advocate, the righteous judge. And the Lord says, return thou backsliding Israel. And he reminds them, return ye backsliding children, I will heal your backslidings. Verse 22 says, I will heal your backsliding, behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Verse 23, truly in vain is salvation hoped from the hills. and from the multitude of mountains. Truly, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. In the Lord, not by the Lord, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. But we always use the word salvation for ourselves. The Lord gave me salvation. Gentiles receive salvation. Oh, Jews have not yet received salvation, you see. We always tend to, spit out words as if we understand everything so precisely. In the Lord is the salvation for Israel. So now, if the salvation of the Lord is in the Lord, if I receive salvation, you receive the Lord Himself. Amen? That is why we remember feet washing communion as a remembrance that He is in me. When I have the bread of life, it's a remembrance, a part of the word is in me. It is being digested, working effectively, living inside of me, because I'm a tabernacle. Communion is a remembrance that you are a tabernacle. We are not in the wilderness anymore. In the wilderness, you can't even touch the tabernacle. You will be burned to death. But now we say, God is in me. The Lord is in me. That's why when those who are still in the Old Testament, when they hear such words, they become so agitated. Abomination. They have no fear. Because for them, they are not established in the present truth. They are still in the past. But that doesn't mean that they are not wise. The Lord has frozen them in the time. He will take them out. For us, we are in the most dangerous, vulnerable situation than them. Why? To whom reveal much will also be expected from him much. Because the Lord has a weighing scale. He knows how much he revealed to you, and he knows how much he revealed to them. So now, the Lord can heal the backsliding. Amen? Which means, whenever we backslide and leave the court, the fellowship of God, we were sick and thrown out of the camp. Miriam, was she sick or not? The Lord said, you will be a leper for 7 days. Which means, for the whole congregation, they would remember Miriam as a woman recovering from leprosy, which is sickness. If the Lord put her inside, that leprosy will spread. So for the benefit of the camp, the Lord put her outside. But the entire camp must be grounded. Amen? They cannot take one step forward without Miriam. Why? Without one sheep, the flock of God is not complete. Without the last sheep, the bride of Christ is not ready. The marriage will not move on. Until the last piece of the puzzle is fit, the marriage of the lamb, the painting would not be complete. So that tells us the healing of God's children who are spiritually sick will be the justification why God allows grace. Grace is the time for God's children to be restored, healed, put back in the place where they are supposed to be. If the Lord judged you and me when we were the worst person of our life many years ago, or even recently, whenever we were the worst version of our life, if the Lord judged you at that moment, on that day, do you think that you'll be sitting here? So God must show you mercy, but when something happens to us, we will be offended. How come this can be justified in the sight of God? The Lord says, in whatever the way you weigh, I will do the same, because He's righteous. He's not taking revenge. So now, Israel will be healed. I want us to remember a particular incident, and I want you all to meditate before you go into the next sections. When Hezekiah was a king, remember we had few Sundays on Sennacherib Rabshakeh. I'm sure the names are yes in your mind. I used it several times. Rabshakeh means chief of the captain. Sennacherib is the great king of Assyria. So Hezekiah was surrounded. But the Bible says King Sennacherib, he came up against the defensed territories of Judah, which means they were all defensed. They were all surrounded with walls, with weapons and armies. But King Sennacherib, he simply went against them, surrounded them, sealed them. They became a prisoner. Cannot go out because they were all around. So the Lord made Hezekiah take off your king's garment. You seem to be very confident. Put on sackcloth. Come before me. Spread everything before me and pray. So what was the outcome of King Sennacherib? Hezekiah changed his garment from being a king to being a prayer warrior. He had to become a praying vessel. He put on sackcloth. He humbled himself. He erased his identity of a king, but rather put on sackcloth, same as David, what he did. He prayed and prayed and prayed, and the Lord delivered them from the hand of the enemy. But the Lord said something very striking. He said, not a single arrow will land in my city. Because he said, I have become your defense. The arrows of King Sennacherib will not penetrate me. So it will not land. It will not fall on the city. The Lord gave a promise. You will not see a single arrow falling on the ground. Amen? Yes. But now answer me. In the same land, missiles fell on the floor. Amen or not? Yes or no? The defense of the human dome, which is called iron, could not stop all the arrows, which are missiles today. Some of the arrows fell inside the ground, which means God is not defending them in a way that they deserve as of today. They fight with all their might, but the time will come, the wall of fire will surround the city when God's glory will dwell and stand in the midst of them. But now they are being inquired of the Lord, being taught by the Lord. That is why I have been telling, if David makes a mistake, Saul makes a mistake, Solomon makes a mistake, Moses made a mistake, every single vessel God used in those times, all the kings of Judah made a mistake, kings of Israel made a mistake, which means Israel made mistakes, several mistakes, terrible mistakes. So the mistakes after one after another, but yet the Lord says, I will deliver thee. That doesn't mean whatever they do is correct. The truth is, they have done wrong things, they are doing wrong things, and they may do wrong things. But the Lord says, those who bless Israel will be blessed. Amen? We are comfortable to accept this, but we are not comfortable to do the same thing for the brethren sitting on your left and right. Aren't you the spiritual Israel? Aren't we part of the new city, Holy Jerusalem? So if I say the land makes mistakes, but God is with them, we say, hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord. But if you replace the land with a person in your life, we become hesitating. You don't know how he hurts me. You have no idea how much hurt he caused me. Then we say, the Lord is with Israel. No matter whatever they do, God will deliver Israel. Why can't we do the same for our loved ones? Why can't we do the same for our colleagues? Why can't we do the same for those who betray us, those who persecute us, those who kill us? Stephen did. Jesus did. Every servant of God who died as a martyr for Christ, they did exactly what I'm saying now. Because they know there is one who gives grace and he can restore them. Who am I? If God judged Saul when Stephen was stoned to death, you would read the scripture, the Lord is righteous. Same way Korah was destroyed, Saul was destroyed. Because Korah went against Moses, Saul went against Stephen. You see, God is with us. Stephen is delivered, Saul is destroyed. No, God is not teaching us Old Testament. It is New Testament, New Covenant, New Blood. Everything is new, which means the Lord surprised us. The one who killed Stephen, instructed us for the death of Stephen, is the same one who will be writing letters to you, who will be preaching gospel to you. Oh, surprise, he will even rebuke Apostle Peter. For the eyes of flesh, not acceptable. No, Old Testament has no such record. Yes, God is new. His mercy is new every morning. But he is old because he is the same forever. So now this investigation of the advocate, inquiring of the advocate, before he comes as a righteous judge, is going on today. It's happening today. The heart of a child of God is always compared as a promised land, a city. And the arrows or the wicked thoughts that his enemy is throwing at you, or even the people throw at you, If those thoughts went inside your defense territory and hurt your feelings, which means God is not your shield yet. We are relying on some other shield which may fight all the thoughts. My brethren, if God is my shield, not a single arrow will land in the city. Amen? Now let's read the definition of strong city, defense city, as we continue. Book of Isaiah, chapter 27. Book of Isaiah, chapter 27. Please be prepared with the images. Yes. Chapter 27, verse 10. Isaiah, chapter 27, verse 10. Verse 10. Yet the defense city shall be desolate, and the habitation forsaken, and left like a wilderness. What do you mean by left like a wilderness? You could say left in the wilderness. No, the Lord says left like a wilderness. And there shall the calf feed, and there shall he lie down and consume the branches thereof. When the boughs thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. The woman came and set them on fire. Women came, set them on fire, for it is a people of no understanding, therefore he that made them will not have mercy on them. Look at the verse, he that made them will not have mercy on them, which means he that made them, take the accountability. I will decide whether I should show mercy or not. I am not asking your opinion. I am not asking your choice. The only time when the Lord is waiting for our decision is us overcoming the free will, telling him, you are my master, you are my creator, I surrender my life, I'm a sinner, I decided to love you and to follow you and to be your child. That submission requires us to fight the free will. But when you are completely surrendered, you will be in a blessed state of God is in complete control of your life, like how Abraham was. And how God wants to be in our life, that he can have his way. Like how the song we were singing, have thine own way. Don't ask me, Lord, do whatever you want. Here I am. Here I am. That is the state of red heifer. He should simply go and lie on the floor or the table for the priest to sacrifice or burn. And the heifer cannot say, here I am. But the heifer is, here I am. Because heifer has no say. It has lost its free will. Because the Creator sacrificed. That is the life of us. A living sacrifice has no rights. Amen? Because God is righteous. He has taken all our rights. So now remember this and read verse 12. Continue. Therefore he that made them will not have mercy on them. That he that formed them will shew them no favor. So whatever the favor we receive come from God Almighty. He says, I can decide. Should I show or not? Verse 12, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt. Ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. What book of Jeremiah says, return ye backsliding children. The Lord says, I will call you one by one. That is why we are all saved at different times, different age, by different experience, different season. Because God is dealing with us one by one, one to one. We are not treated as a group, but rather precious creation of God, like a mother treats the child. The Lord says, I will call you one by one. I will deal with you one by one. So now, he says, verse 13, and it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria. There was a kingdom of Assyria, captivity. And the outcast in the land of Egypt, they were in the captivity before. And shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. Yerushalayim. Amen. Yerushalayim. Jerusalem. Awe of peace. A city filled with God's peace. But not today. Not yet. So now, the Lord is talking about defense city, then he mocked them by saying, I will make your defense city to be desolate. So the Lord says, you chose your own defense. So there are two defense city, my dear family of God. One, God is your defense. Two, you have built your own defense. May sound spiritual, but if God is not my defense, you can easily understand how. Ye shall know them by fruit. If your defense allow you to be hurt, disappointed, angry, isolated, frustrated, always sad, then you do not have God as your shield. You have built your own iron dome that is always launching, you know, fireworks to hit the missiles. But there is a breaking point. There is a number it can handle. When the Lord exceeds the number, we will be overwhelmed and everything will fail. Then we will realize, Lord, forgive us, Lord. I thought you are my shield. Now I realized I was my shield. That's why the book of Jeremiah starts by saying, first chapter, they worshipped the work of their hands, thinking that they worshipped me. Correct? So now, let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah 26, one chapter before. I want us to show the word defense city, and now I'll show you the word strong city. 26, verse 21 first. Verse 21, it says, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. When the heifer was sacrificed, can the heifer cover itself? Because it's already dead. The priest will expose every part of the heifer before he burn it. And the Lord says, when I come, I will uncover the nakedness of the earth. She will disclose the blood, which blood it is being used. Is it the blood of Christ or the blood of flesh? Now, why he said that is verse 20. One verse before. Come, my people, return, thou backsliding Israel, wherever you are, whatever you are doing, or whatever the reason that you think that it is correct, that you are led by God, return unto me as a whole. Return, thou, my children, return. So he says that, then he says, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself as it were for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Now please open the first image, the name of the Lord with the wall and the door. Now, what I just read, I will read again. Return unto me, my dear children, shut the door, be inside until the indignation is over. Do not come outside, because there is going to be a rain of fire. You better hide under the umbrella of his grace and mercy. So now, last Sunday, we focused on the name. I am is the name of the Father. I am the Savior is the name of the Son, but they are not two, to the point where we see me and my Son, we see two different creation, so we are limited to fleshful thoughts. So now, this door was the only piece of armor, was the only piece of sword, or the only piece of palace, whatever you can call it, or the Ark of Noah, whatever you can call it, this simple piece of door literally saved countless people who were about to follow Moses. Amen? So God saved them so that they will escape the hands of Pharaoh and they will follow Moses. That is the Passover, Pesach. Pesach is Passover. So now, this door did not protect them from Pharaoh. Do you agree with me? Was that door made to protect people from Pharaoh? No. This door was made to protect people of God from God. Did I say that correctly? This door was made to protect the people of God from God himself. And Jesus says, I am the door. So who can protect people of God from God? God himself. Then who is Jesus? So, Yahusha, I am the Savior, Yehoshua. So, this word Ish is what you see in Yerushalayim. And this word ish is what you see in shalom, peace. There is no peace if there is no salvation. And this ish, what you see in the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh. Ish, ish, ish. So now, this dalet, the door, and Jesus Christ called all of us to enter into my presence. Receive my truth and understand who I am. Judas comes with all the army behind him. They are all holding weapons. And Jesus stands alone. Because the disciples, they took one step backward when they saw a big army. And Judas comes and say, kiss Jesus on the cheek. And the people understand, oh, he is the man whom we are going to crucify. But they ask, who is Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Remember? And Jesus come before them and say, I am he. When he said, I am he, they all fell backward, fell to the ground, and they could not stand up. Jesus had to tell them, you can stand up now. For a moment, the Creator revealed himself to the creation, and the creation is scared. But God is not rejoicing in that submission. That is not submission. That is nothing but fear. But submission is understanding him in his agape, understanding him in his love, understanding him in his truth, understanding the Creator for whom I am created. So now, this, today we will focus on the seventh part. I am always fascinated about the number seven. Seven church ages, seven candlesticks, seven messengers. Seven, a perfection of God's work. Eight, a new beginning. Six, imperfection of men, a government of men. So now in this name, the door was the savior of people. Amen? But that door was not empty. It was covered by the blood of Jesus Christ to remind us he died for us. In death, there is resurrection. The lamb was slain. In that death, people entered the door alive. But the lamb was slain. The animal was killed. The heifer was called to be killed. If the heifer says, I'm not going to be a living sacrifice, I resist, I backslide, then we roll down from the mount. Abraham is telling Isaac, make sure you take the steps carefully. You're carrying the wood, not just your own weight. If Isaac says, you don't know how fast I run. Do you know how athletic I am? But Abraham placed the woods on his shoulder. Isaac will be unbalanced. So Abraham tells Isaac, follow me. Take the steps as how I take. Follow me. You do not know the terrain. So God leads us by pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, by day and night. The promise on Isaac must carry the burden of the Lord. Not your burden, not your problems, not your very own prayer request. That is secondary. That will be answered by God by himself. But the burden for the ministry, burden for salvation, burden for the souls. When we carry, if we have some dishonest gains, my brethren, we will take one misstep. We will misplace the right to the left or left to the right, and we will hit the rock. Not any rock, the rock of refuge, the rock of fortress, the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ. He is the fountain of life. He is the stumbling block. If we fall back, we will roll down to the pit. And God says, return thou, backsliding Israel. Come up. What are you doing? Have you learned the mistake? Don't do it again. That is why we are refined seven times. Why? We will not get this done in one shot. We will fall and rise. Fall and rise. Seven times. The word of the Lord purified, refined, washed. Seven times like silver and gold. Why silver and gold? You will be surprised when you go there. Why not bronze or aluminium or platinum? Or some other good jewel, silver and gold. Why? So now, this name, I am the Savior, I am, is one. One God, Aleph. There is only one God. There is only one Savior. He cannot be worshipped by idols. He cannot be worshipped by other names. He cannot be replaced by any other servants of God. If we do so, Exodus 20 will come and slap us on the face. What is Exodus 20? Let's go and get slapped. Exodus 20, verse 1. It is always beautiful when the Lord touch our cheek. No, not slapping means not destruction. To get a touch from the Lord is real. Amen. If the Lord tells me the only way I touch you is slap you, I will say slap me as many times as you want. As long as you touch me, Lord, I'll be whole. Amen. Chapter 20, verse 1. Let's learn from the most underestimated chapter, which is called as 10 Commandments. Come on. I am in 7th unders now. Understand my PhD degree. Don't drag me to kindergarten. If you talk about 7th unders, Armageddon, Day of the Lord, some mighty revelation, I'm listening to you. 10 Commandments. Sorry, my ears will be shut. If we have such thought, we will never enter into His kingdom. Look at the first commandment and look what happened to Israel. Chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying. But who was speaking? Verse 2. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. My brethren, what is the name that you read here? House of bondage. What was the first verse that we read when we start the sermon series on Southern Gate? Book of Isaiah. The Lord called me, His Spirit rest upon me to deliver the people from house of bondage. To deliver the people from captivity. To bring them to liberty. And the first commandments use the word. The Lord reminds them, I am the Lord thy God who delivered thee from the house of bondage. But He also put them in a house of bondage. The skin is still shed, right? Keep it as it is. The door is also a house of bondage, but not the bondage of men, but bondage of Christ. Bondage of anointing. The blood applied on the doorpost, you cannot go out. You are not supposed to leave the ark. Amen? This bondage is a divine captivity, beautiful bondage. That's why Apostle Paul, he is rejoicing to call himself, do you think that I am senior, principal, apostle, or what do you call, some beautiful title? No, he didn't say anything. He said, I'm a bond servant of Christ. I'm happy to say that. I'm a slave to Christ. He chained me in love. And we are also chained by the love. Why? Where is the love? The blood was shed by love. So now, here it says, verse 2, house of bondage. Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Is it so simple? My brethren, if God is compared to a king, the king of all earth and heaven, for He is the creator of all, and the Bible says the king of kings, then who are the kings? His children, amen? Because He ruled the land through His children. He preached the gospel of peace through His children. And He's also called the Lord of Lords. Then who are the Lords? And He's also called the Lord of Hosts. And who are the Hosts? Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He has His name. He identifies Himself with His children. The father of the children. Amen? The husband of the wife. The groom of the bride. The savior of the saved, the healer of the healed, the deliverer of the captives. So He is always identified by His children. So now, verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. The Lord says, you would even go and build a temple under the water. He says, do not create anything that may look alike in heaven or earth or under the water. Whatever, do not make anything. Do you know why the Lord tells this? He's asking us, do you understand God is spirit? And we say, amen. Then why you are trying to premeditate what I will do? Why you try to presume that I will say this or I will do this? My brethren, predicting, presuming, in your own understanding, what God may do is the same as what you try to make an idol, what God may look like, or how God may look like. The Bible says, no man has seen the face of God. Amen? We are only revealed to the Word of God, the image of God, the visible presence of God Almighty, our Savior. But God is Spirit. So God has put a very, very strict restriction and a warning. Do not worship any man or any woman or any power or any idol or any thought. And most importantly, my people of Israel, do not worship your own works. Book of Jeremiah was a warning that people started worshipping their own works. They were crafting God in themselves. Why? If He is God, then we all can feel like I'm a little God. Oh, the whole earth is going to be destroyed. Don't worry, I will take you to Mars. I'm a God. Oh, this land is creating problem. Don't worry, I have a missile, a nuclear one. I will destroy them just like that. I'm like a God, you know. Oh, you are facing some problem. Don't worry, I will save you. I'm like a God. People want to feel like gods. People want to behave like gods. Countries want to feel like that they are entitled to do whatever they want. The idol worship is at the peak where we live today. If you discern very carefully, you will see the towers of Babel everywhere. People are building their own tower. Oh, you hate him, we are friends. Oh, the one who is hated, they will find friends. Hatred has become the source of unity. How come? Love must be the source of unity. But today, the world is united by hatred. 4 of us hate him. 7 of us hate her. So we are all team. Team A, team B. Let's throw arrows at each other. Arrows will fall in the land. Why? Because God is not your defense. He is not your defense city. Hatred cannot be the invitation for God who is love. So this door, my brethren, was opened by God who is love for people to enter. But the very same people embrace hatred in wilderness. And God consumed them. Now the question is, let's say if we are standing witnessing God consuming people left and right, 14,700 killed by God, 3,000 God cleansed by Moses. We see, Lord, why did you save us in the first place? You could have simply destroyed us in the plague. But the Lord shows, I show mercy and you played with me. So now, this door, my brethren, if we continue to read this verse, verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. I'm a jealous God. You think that you are jealous about something? Surprise! I'm a jealous God. Whatever is mine, I'm not giving to anyone. Either you become mine, or you become something else. The face of Jesus Christ has been drawn thousands of times by different artists, painters, telling Jesus may look like this. So they become the creator of the creator. What a joke. So people become the creator of the creator thinking that he may look like this. And those who don't worship idols, they preach the gospel of Christ, which was not preached by Christ. And they say, Jesus may have preached this. Jesus could have preached this. Won't understanding. But the truth is, both the sides is idol worship. People creating the face of Christ on their own. The face of Christ is the knowledge of Christ, the understanding of Christ. Eyes, smell, words, hearing, thinking, all. Our face, my brethren, is nothing but understanding. Everything is here, understanding. So now, let's read the next verse. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Lord, when did we tell you we hate you? He that hateth his brother killed him in his heart. He that killeth his brother hates God. Cain killed Abel. Cain showed his hatred for Abel. But Abel was son of God. If you kill the son of God, you hate God. Amen? So Ten Commandments, is it so simple? Now, I want us to go back to Isaiah chapter 26. Book of Isaiah chapter 26. Now, let's keep it in 26. Go to the next, please. Let's remember what we studied last Sunday. The animal could be called to be sacrificed, or could be called to carry some burden. Have you seen in countries, cows are used to carry the load? They are like the engine of the taxi. They move like a chariot with horses. Horses, they have to carry the burden of the yoke of the chariot. And some people are standing in the chariot and the horse will have to carry them. So my brethren, animal can have multiple purposes. It can be used as a soldier in the army where chariots are going to fight against Amalekites. And the horses are also used in the battle. And what the book of Proverbs says, horse prepares for the battle, but the safety is of the Lord. Horse is a very important beast in the scripture. Book of Revelation, full of horsemen. Four horsemen, and the one who comes also comes in the white horse. So now, this animal was used for sacrifice. It was also used to carry burden. Because the verse says, Numbers, bring a red heifer on which there was no yoke placed. The bride must be virgin. Amen? We are called the wise virgin, not someone who gave birth to child of a worldly husband. Wise virgin. Amen? And the red heifer comes to be sacrificed. No yoke was placed. The shoulder is free for the Lord's yoke to be placed. And what was a yoke? To be sacrificed. Or to carry some heavy loads. Can be anything. But if that heifer resists and rebel, the Lord would say, backsliding beast. Backsliding Israel. Very stubborn. Which happens to people. If it happens to Israel, it can happen to Gentiles. Now next please. Let's remind ourselves what we studied. So there are already preparations going on. I believe September 2022 was the time they received 5 red heifers, Israel. It's been already almost 3 years. So they are growing well, taken care of very well to be sacrificed. But not 5, they will choose 1. Amen? They are going to choose 1 among the 5. David had 5 stones. He chose 1 stone among the 5 and he threw against Goliath. 5 always represents grace. Amen? 5 fingers, I can use any finger to turn on the light or turn off the light. I can use any finger. But 1 red heifer will be sacrificed, but the time that we live in is not the Old Testament, not the wilderness, one of the many sacrifices. It is going to be something that is going to change the era of what we are witnessing. When it's going to happen, we don't know. But the Lord has called Israel themselves as backsliding Israel. He wants a perfect submission from them. Now, our life, if you look at this picture, especially at the corner, you could see when this was burnt, the Bible says the ashes of the burnt heifer are purification of sin. Purification of sin. When something is burnt, the smoke goes to the cloud. Amen? But the cloud can go somewhere else and pour rain to someone. But actually the cloud was formed in some other place. Correct? Because the clouds are always moving. We may get rain in Singapore, but the rainwater may not be from Singapore. It was accumulated, collected in some other place. Because the clouds are moving. You can say, hey, this cloud was formed by this ocean. You should give me rain. The cloud will say, goodbye, I'm going to some other place. The cloud will go and pour the rain somewhere. Like apostles were scattered from the land of Judah. They were going to all corners of the earth to give them the teaching rain. They were all taught, soaked in the rain. Worse. Now this animal is sacrificed and the ashes, smoke, we all see this. Because people were not willing to sacrifice in those times. They were keep on making mistakes. The Lord had to put a temporary solution, but yet to tell them what is going to happen in the later time. One sacrifice. So now, 12 tribes of Israel, I want us to read the names again, because I'm telling you, we may miss out some. If we think that we know all 12, you can't even tell 12 apostles if you just think very quickly. You may have to strive. Someone is missing in my mind. Or 12 disciples, we may miss. 12 tribes, we focus on 12 tribes. See, Dan, Naphtali, Reuben, Simeon. Let's put them on one side. Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun. Put them on one side. The 4 in the middle. Joseph, Benjamin, Levi, Judah. Amen? So Joseph has 2 sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. these two sons were added in the inheritance. It may look like 13, correct? It may look like 13. If you add Ephraim, Manasseh in the place of Joseph, it's not 12 anymore, it becomes 13. But actually, Levites were always at the center of it. Correct? Levites were always at the center of it. That's what we are going to focus today. So now, let's stop here. Remember the names, we will come again here. So now, let's come to book of Isaiah, chapter 26, right? Chapter 26. Book of Isaiah, chapter 26. Verse 1 says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. 27 talks about defense city. 26 talks about strong city. So let me write the verse. What is strong city? What is defense city? Think very carefully. Let's say I'm a sheep. I'm roaming in the forest. A lion came and caught me. My neck is, you know, in the mouth of the lion. And David tells King Saul, oh, Saul, you don't even know who I am. There was a time a sheep, a lamb, was taken by a lion. I ran and I found the lion and put my hands in the mouth of the lion and take the lamb out of the mouth of the lion. I delivered the lamb, you know, that my name is David. Son of David, he did the same. But in order for him to put his hand in the mouth of the lion, which is not the lion of Judah, but the roaming beast, like a ravening lion that has the lust to devour the children of God, he died, went inside, resurrected. Amen? He died for us. All of us were marked for death. The Bible says, 1 Peter 3:19, he preached gospel to the souls in captive when he descended. So the Lord delivered us from death, from the hands of the enemy which drag us to death. He found us in our weaknesses. He found us in our shortcomings, in our iniquities. He washed us, delivered us. So a different city can be different. I can be a weak city, but I'm surrounded by someone who is strong. Amen? I'm weak. A city is weak, but it's okay. There is a wall that surrounds me. Because of that, I can become a different city. I'm weak. It's okay. But my shepherd is standing with me. Come and touch me if you can. Oh yeah, I'm a lamb. My leg is broken. I can't run. Oh, the devouring lion, you can come and kill me. Oh, the bear, all the beasts, you can come and kill me. Come. But I'm defensed. So sorry. Good luck next time. My Jesus Christ is standing. He's with me. The wall of fire surrounds me. So when the Lord says different city, if the city does not realize that I am weak, you may think that I'm a different city. King of Uzziah, he has the biggest army in the world. And the Lord says, surprise, you will die as a leper. Because you relied on your own strength. A different city is a realization. I was a lame crawling outside the temple and the Lord healed me, brought me inside the beautiful gate. Different city. He was surrounded by the two apostles. Amen? Shielded. The two apostles and the lame, you could see the path of the word covered by the two cherubims in the ark. Amen? Same. Two, where there are two or more in the midst, the Lord is there. The two olive anointed trees. It's always the same pattern. So we are different by the fellowship of God. We are weak, but thou art strong. Now, strong city. What is strong city? Either I became a strong city because the strong tower is in me, or the wall of fire is with me, or I became a strong city because the city itself is transformed into a new city, Holy Jerusalem, where the King of Kings is sitting in the throne of Yerushalayim, the Prince of Peace. Strong city. Verse 2, open ye the gates. 26th chapter, book of Isaiah. Verse 2, open ye the gates. Which means the gates were shut. Amen? It was shut. Open ye the gates. That the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Not the loving nation. Not the merciful nation. Not the kind nation. Not the goodly nation. Not the powerful nation. Righteous nation shall enter in. Remember this, my brethren. Blessed are those who hunger after his righteousness, for they shall be filled. We are called to be the righteous nation, not just a holy nation, royal nation. Righteous nation shall enter. Shall enter. A nation that has received the righteousness of the Father in heaven shall enter. But actually, we enter into a nation. How can a nation enter in there? This is where captivity comes. If the Lord tells Israel, go to Chaldeans, they should go to Chaldeans. If the Lord tells Israel, go to Egypt, they should go to Egypt, asking no questions. No questions asked. When they were in Egypt, God took them to promised land. They did not ask for it. But when God tells them, go back to Egypt, people say, no. You better benefit us. Don't come and give us uncomfortable situation. There is no comforter if there is no uncomfortable situation in your life. That is why he is called comforter. God wanted the people to be in uncomfortable situation for them to seek him, seek his face, so that he will not destroy them. He is not concerned about enemies. Those enemies will simply bow to the ground when he comes and say, I am he. He don't even have to fight with them, my brethren. He will have to simply say, I am he. Don't you know who I am? I am your creator. Oh Lord, they will fall to the ground. But for the people of God, the Lord wanted them to enter in wherever he wants to lead them. But they resisted. Backsliding Israel. Backsliding Hafer. We should not become backsliding Seventh Church Age. It is the same forever. He is the same forever. Seventh Church Age is quite vulnerable and weak, complacent for backsliding. By thinking we know everything. Because the revelation that we have, even people of Israel don't have. Which means it's a trap. God knows how much you can bear. Amen? We always use the verse to compare with our burdens and pain. Forget it. God knows how much understanding you can keep. Do you remember those times Jesus said, after the transfiguration on the mount, the Bible says Jesus spoke to the three. And he told them, whatever you saw today, whatever I told you today, keep your mouth shut. Don't tell anyone. Until the time comes. Why? The Lord says, my understanding will destroy you if you are not worthy to receive it. If you are not able to keep it, you will misunderstand. You will replace my understanding by that. You will add some word. You will remove some word. Then you will bring all the wrath upon yourself. Because he has spoken in the book of Revelation, do not add and do not receive anything. Remove anything from my word. The Lord knows how much understanding your mind can bear. The true understanding is the knowledge of Christ. Who is my creator? And why he died on the cross. Our life is well. So now, let's continue the next verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Mind is staying on him. Verse 3. You will give him perfect peace. No normal peace. No partial peace. Perfect means complete peace. This is the state of new city, Holy Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, who received the new covenant, who received the present established truth with all of us as one. And we will all enter in Jerusalem. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah, which is Yahuha, is everlasting strength. Now we come back here. Different city, strong city, is it everlasting or temporary? All the strong cities of Judah, all the different cities of Judah, they were temporary. My brethren, the day will come, the strength and the might of men, all the weaponry will fail. Listen to what I say today. All the weaponry will fail. All the technology will fail. Every single confidence of men will fail. Everybody will have no strength to walk. They will be on their knees, crawling on the floor, praying, crying, waiting for the strong hand of God. In that weakness, he will come. Until then, he won't come. Why? People don't need him. I have AK-47. Why should I need the one who handles 7 candlesticks? No, only 7, I have 47. People trust on chariots and horses. People trust in technology. People trust in world leaders. They don't need the leader in the world. He won't come. He will wait until the whole world screams for him, which means he will break the confidence. Why? We saw the verse last 2 Sundays ago. I will take thy confidences. Take off. I'll remove it. I will show you who you are without me. Until then, we are not a different city. A different city of the world will go desolate. A strong city of the world will be destroyed. But the Bible says in verse 4, the Lord is my everlasting strength. Perfect peace, everlasting strength. Which means, he is strong forever. As long as we need him. Which means, I must stay weak so that he is always strong in me. I pray that none of us feel strong by our very own self. Don't do it. You don't want to face the hand of God dealing with you. Always tell yourself, I am weak, thou art strong. I was lame, thou healed me. I can't speak, thou touched my mouth to speak about you. I was dead, now I am alive. That realization should never be replaced. That is why Rahab always called as Rahab who was the harlot. Was. So that she would never forget who she was. So now, verse 5. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. True, David was in the portico of his high palace. And the Lord simply allowed Bathsheba to be there. He brought him down. Threw him into the valley of Kidron. The more higher we go, the mighty the downfall could be. From where Jezebel fell? From the high tower. I'm a queen. I can go to the high tower and hide from everyone. She just peeked from the window. King Jehu saw it. Hey, who is this woman? No, throw her down. She fell from top and died. The highest cedar of Lebanon will be brought down. Which means the Lord will let the Tower of Babel to go high and tall. Everybody will see. Oh, my fellow worldly people, this is the largest building. You all saw? Then when everybody saw, the Lord will bring it down. Oh, it was the largest building. Oh, this is the strongest tower. The Lord will let them build. Everybody saw. Then the Lord will break it like a eggshell. Then they will say, it was the strongest tower. He will make the strength of men to be showcased first. Then he will hit. So that people understand. Let's don't put our trust in chariots and horses. Then he says, the lofty city. Now the true name of the city has been revealed. Not strong. Not different. Just lofty. Haughty. Super confident. Powerful nation of the world. The Lord can collapse the culture, which we can see today. In 100 years, a nation that can rule the world can become a nation that can't even rule its own people. Now, it says, he layeth it low, he layeth it low, even to the ground, he bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed are those who are poor. Blessed are those who are needy. What a beautiful way book of Isaiah calls the book of Matthew. You know, the Beatitudes. Which means I should be poor in the worldly desire so that I can remain rich in the heavenly kingdom. I should be needy because I need my Savior. I need my Savior. I need my healer. I need him. Needy of God. Then the Lord says, you will crush the head of the serpent because your feet is beautiful with the gospel of peace. My brethren, Adam was tested twice. Did you notice that? At first, his wife was deceived. He was thrown out of his inheritance, that is, Garden of Eden. He could search for the serpent to kill it, right? Because of you. No. He focused on being fruitful. He gave birth to Seth. He was fathering Seth and the children. He was being a good father. Then, Abel was killed. Seth was a replacement. Amen? Seth was a replacement. But before Seth was given, Abel was killed. So Adam had a deceived wife, a murdered son. And he lived 930 years. Talk about long-suffering, think about Adam. He literally lived 1,000 years, almost. And he did not take revenge. Long-suffering? How come he did that? And even the children of Jacob, Reuben and why they could not control their anger when Dinah was raped by another king, Shechem. They took revenge. But Adam didn't do anything, for the son was murdered. At least the sister was alive. Abel was murdered, but Adam didn't take revenge. See, when the Bible says the feet of the poor, steps of the needy, God tells Abraham, every single step you take, you will claim the land. Which means Abraham was preaching peace in his life. Whatever God told him, he did. That is preaching peace. He delivered Lot. There was one battle that we recorded. But Abraham was walking and walking and walking. He made mistakes. God was silent. But yet, he claimed every place that he walked. Amen? Even the burial place of Jacob was purchased by who? Abraham. So now, let's remember this. Let's go to the 12 tribes. Keep it ready. Let's go to Numbers 2. Quite an interesting chapter. Numbers 2. In Tamil it is Ennagamam. Numbers 2. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron. So he was speaking to two, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of the father's house. So every man child was given a task of honoring the father's house, and he was called to pitch a tent. And far off above the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. So remember the sacrifice of heifer. And now remember the congregation, and the Lord tells them, make sure you are far away from me. Don't you dare to come near me. Far away from the tabernacle. Don't come near. For tabernacle, same instruction. For the holy mountain, same instruction. God tells Moses, only you should come. Let the people stand afar from holy mountain. Now he tells Moses and Aaron, why? Tabernacle is managed by who? The high priest. Not Moses. High priest was in charge of tabernacle. When it comes to mountain, God tells Moses, come alone. When it comes to tabernacle, God speaks to Moses and Aaron. Because tabernacle was on the ground, not on the mountain. Amen? It was for the people. Now God tells them, everyone, every tribe should pitch a tent. Verse 3, and on the east side toward the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. And Nashon, the son of Aminadab, shall be the captain of the children of Judah. My brethren, why Judah? There are 12 tribes. Should start with Reuben. He is the firstborn. I showed you very clearly in both the blessings of Moses and Jacob, Reuben was the first to be blessed. Amen? But in the camp formation, the word east is mentioned, from where the sun will rise, and Judah is mentioned. The very first army, the army of God, Judah is mentioned. Aminadab and Nashon. And the rest is a continuation of all 12 tribes according to north, south, east, and west. So last Sunday I mentioned the meaning of Benjamin Netanyahu. Bin Yamin Netanyahu. It means son of the right hand. Not just that, son of the south. And God tells Prophet Jeremiah, speak, set your face to the north and prophesy. To the north, to the south, now in the east. Let's take one example of west. And the west should be verse 18. Verse 18, look at this. On the west side shall be the standard of the camp of Ephraim according to the armies, and the captains of the sons of Ephraim shall be Elishama, the son of Aminud, and his host, and those that were numbered of them were 40,500. And let's go to verse 20. And by him shall be the tribe of Manasseh. So Manasseh and Ephraim are who? Brothers. Sons of Joseph. Good. So far good, right? Verse 22. Then the tribe of Benjamin. Hey, why Benjamin? Why you put Benjamin with Joseph? Who is Benjamin to Joseph? Younger brother. Ephraim, Manasseh, sons of Joseph. Benjamin, brother of Joseph. Can I say correct? Sons of Joseph, brother of Joseph. On one side, west side. So now, let's go to the image. So let's remember this east, west, north, south. Instead of reading the whole chapter, let's go and focus on this. Moses and Aaron. Let's assume these two are those whom the Lord is speaking through. And 12 tribes of Israel in the wilderness, not in Jerusalem, not in Judah, not in Israel, not in, you know, not in some big kingdom, some wilderness. And Levi is at the center of it, is it? Let's look at the verse. Where is the Levites? Verse 17, please. 17 says, then the tabernacle of the congregation shall set forward with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camp. As they encamp, so shall they set forward, every man in his place by their standards. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So who is at the center? Levites. So where is the tabernacle? At the center. Center is the place where sacrifice is made, tabernacle is there, and the Levites are there. At the center, at the heart of it. Sacrifice at the heart of our life. Levites who are called to sacrifice, the priest. And now, let me start from Benjamin. This is west, correct? West. Benjamin, Manasseh, Ephraim, the sons of Joseph. Amen? So let's go and search where is Judah. Judah is here. Judah, Reuben, Issachar, Zebulun, all four on one side, which is the east side. Now let's go to the south. Dan, let's go to the south. Let's read one verse so that we understand. Verse 10. On the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben according to the armies. And the captains of children of Reuben shall be Elizur, the son of Shedur. This is one. And verse 12. With those which pitch by him shall be the tribe of Simeon, and the captain of children of Simeon, and shall be Shalmiel, the son of Jerushadai. So now, this side. So Reuben, Simeon, Gad. So this side, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, this side. Sorry, this is actually this side, yes. And Dan, Asher, Naphtali, this side. So now, if you look at this cross formation, very similar to a cross formation, at the center there is Levite. Amen? There are Levites. So now our focus is Benjamin and Judah. So these two tribes of Israel who are going through a lot in the kingdoms of Israel and kingdoms of Judah. Amen? Now let's keep it as it is. Let's keep it there. Now let's read the verse 33. The same chapter 33. Numbers 2:33. But the Levites were not numbered among the children of Israel. as the Lord commanded Moses. So what the Lord tells them, they are mine. Do not number them with them, they are mine. Because he consecrated them, sanctified them, put them at the center to be in charge of tabernacle. Only they are called to sacrifice. Only Aaron can enter the tabernacle. 34, and the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So they pitched by their standards, and so they set forward, everyone after their families. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And according to the house of their fathers. How beautifully the churches are being functioned today. The Lord has built families all around. Everybody has a fellowship. Everybody has something to fulfill. Everybody is traveling in the wilderness of our life. But we are all assembled as one family of God. The same way Aaron Moses assembled the family of God, although they were tribes, it is also going to happen the same way for all of us in the line, the end time as well. So now, next please. Please go to the image again. I want to show you something beautiful. Look at this previous image. Look at this state, my brethren, an empty ground, correct? An empty ground. Simply an empty ground. No buildings, no nothing. An empty ground. From here, the Lord took them to the stage of here, correct? When Moses formed the camp, he called them with Aaron. Joshua was not mentioned. Amen? Because Moses and Aaron were in church. But who prepared this? Joshua. Because Moses, Aaron did not cross the promised land. So, after the promised land is given to Joshua, in 21, we read this chapter, 12 tribes and cities were formed. You could see Simeon is inside Judah, which is very, very unique. I will explain why. And all the other nations, they had their own territory. Benjamin, Ephraim, Dan, Gad, Reuben, and Gad. You can see Reuben is actually outside Dead Sea. Gad, Manasseh, the biggest land. Issachar, Zebulun, Naphtali, Asher, and Judah. So this is the land that was given to people of Israel, which is not the same today. Today, it is different. These lands are still occupied by some. And do not forget the children of Lot, Moabites, Ammonites. They are still with Abraham's family. Very close. Moabites, Ammonites, they live very close. But if you look at here, these 12 different cities or lands were simply categorized into two. Northern kingdom of Israel, southern kingdom of Judah. Amen? Now tell me, what is the meaning of Netanyahu, Binyamin, son of the south? Amen? Son of the south, correct? Northern kingdom of Israel, that is mainly on Samaria. Southern kingdom of Judah, mainly on Yerushalayim. Do you know the kingdoms of Judah? When I say kingdoms, they had multiple capital change. Israel, kingdom of Israel, their capital was changed during the different kings. Shechem, lot of Shittim, lot of cities came as a predominant capital. But for kingdom of Judah, Jerusalem remained as the only capital throughout the kingdoms. That city was not to be replaced with any other city throughout multiple kings. Fell bad kings, evil kings, good kings, but Jerusalem was there. But for Israel, it was not the case. They had different cities, Samaria, a lot of places. So now this southern kingdom and this northern kingdom, God tells Jeremiah to set his face towards what? North and prophesy. Amen? And speak. So now, what's the next? Okay, just stop. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Chronicles. The transition of wilderness to a promised land. People were safe and sound in wilderness, to be very precise. They were not attacked by enemies. God was with them. But they became so vulnerable when they were thrown into the promised land. Because everything was given. They did not have to seek the face of the Lord. They were given. They were rejoicing in the milk and honey of the land. So now, 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Second Chronicles chapter 35. Remember last Sunday I mentioned how Book of Jeremiah teach us the transition of the word from father dealing with children to a woman forsake her husband. And the Lord says, I am married unto thee. So the bride and groom, the husbandman and the wife of the Lamb, and how the Lord called all of us that you have a covenant with me. You cannot worship anyone but me. So the remembrance of the covenant, if those who forget the covenant, the Lord says it's a harlotry. So Israel and Judah, these two were compared as two sisters, and the Lord was rebuking them. In Jeremiah chapter 3. Amen. Now, read chapter 35, verse 25. Chapter 35, verse 25. And Jeremiah lamented for Josiah, and all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentations to this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel, and behold, they are written in the Lamentations. So we know that Jeremiah wrote a book of Lamentations. It was not a coincidence. He was there with different kings, five different kings, from Josiah with then all his sons later on. And the very last king, eyes were removed. He was taken as a captive by the king of Babylon. Now King Josiah was a very good king. Amen? He was a very good king. He ruled approximately 33 years. He was a very good king. The one last good king of Israel or Judah. You can combine them both also. He was the one last good king. After that, all wicked, miserable kings. And Jeremiah was introduced to the ministry when the good king was there. But the Lord took the good king. Do you remember how Josiah died? He didn't die of old age. Look at the verse. I think we should read from verse 20. Verse 20. I just want you all to remember how this good king died, which is very beautiful. Chapter 35, verse 20. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, blessed be the name of the Lord. My brethren, look at the sequence of events. After Josiah prepared the temple, the work was done. He was not taken before this. Necho, the king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Ephrates, and Josiah went out against him. Which means, because the temple was prepared, there was a king from Egypt came to fight. The Lord sent an adversary. The Lord always sent adversary, my dear brethren. Do not misunderstand that evil is fighting with you. Do be very careful. It was God who sent the adversary to Solomon. It was God who sent adversaries to his children because he wanted them to be trained, exercise their faith. So we have to understand God is in control of my life. You cannot curse any situation. You cannot curse any man or any woman. Because behind him, it was God who sent them to test you, to try you through force, through you, fire, some through the fire, some through the water. Now, here it says, but he sent ambassadors to him, saying, what I have to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Wow. God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from the meddling with God who is with me, that he destroy thee not. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him. Was the warning given? Yes. Josiah did not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him. And hearken not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God. The Bible says, Necho spoke as the mouth of God. You think non-believers cannot teach you? Wake up. You think worldly people cannot preach sermon to you? Wake up. God can teach you, bless you, speak to you through anyone, absolutely anyone. Even a donkey was used to pass a message to Balaam. Anything is possible. So Josiah, who was a good king, in the moment of his wisdom, he thought he was being deceived by Necho. Because serpents are the same thing, right? Hey, Eve, you can eat from this, you know, tree of knowledge and Eve, good and evil. No, it's okay. We will be like God. And Eve was deceived. And Necho says, God sent me to come and take your city. What Josiah would say, hey, if you come and take your city, then why am I king here? No, he's a deceiver. A wise king was disguised himself. There is one more person who disguised herself. Anyone remember? She wanted to hide her identity, put some makeup on her face to disguise herself. Jezebel. She also disguised herself to change the face how she looks so that she can escape from Jehu. Josiah was a good man. He disguised himself so that he can fight with Necho. But in his fight, what happened? And the archer shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servant, have me away, for I am sore wounded. There was one who also was wounded in the same way, King Saul, the very first king of Israel from the tribe of Benjamin. He was also wounded in the war by Philistines, right? Now, his servants therefore took him out of the chariot. So he moved away from the chariot which was carrying him. And they brought him to Jerusalem and he died. So he died in Jerusalem. He did not die before Jerusalem. Do you see how beautiful the work of the Lord is? He did not die outer parts of Jerusalem. He was wounded, brought to Jerusalem. He died inside Jerusalem. And he died, was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers, of his father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What we just read, Numbers 2, every man will pitch his tent following his father, not someone's father. Sons of Reuben will do what Reuben did. Sons of Judah should do what the father Judah did. They cannot lust after some other tribe. The Lord says, know thyself. From which garden you are planted, focus on your roles and duties and your love, your fellowship, your fulfillment in that garden. If you lust after some other garden, you may think you do service to God, but you would lose your identity. Bible says it. The Bible says it. Every man was given a territory by God, but he is the one who unites us. Amen. We are all parted in the wall, working different works, different seasons, with different purpose, but one single wall. Until the builder blows the trumpet, we can't be assembled. We have a purpose. Now, this is when, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. He was the king of Judah. So this good king was taken. Okay, Jeremiah was mourning. Okay. Now, let's read the same chapter, verse 1. Before Josiah died, he did not just prepare the temple, my brethren. Look at the impact of Josiah. What a good king he was in a good time that he was supposed to be. Chapter 35 verse 1 says, moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem. My brethren, remember this. Josiah kept a Passover, Pesach, in Jerusalem. Few verses down the road, Josiah, wounded outside Jerusalem, died inside Jerusalem. Am I correct? Where Jesus was crucified. Inside Jerusalem or outside Jerusalem? Inside the city or outside the city? We are called to bear the reproach of his shame inside or outside? Outside. But we will return inside. So now, David went out, came in, and he died not. Remember the verse? Now look at this. They killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. So they killed the Passover, which means the beast that was sacrificed for the Passover received the name Passover. Am I correct? They killed the Passover. It didn't say they killed the animal for Passover. No. They killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priest in their charges and encouraged them to do the service of the Lord in the house of the Lord. Wow. Wow, what a king. A true king focusing on the true purpose of true worshippers of God, worship God in truth. He encouraged the priests, do your job, I'm with you. The same king, the king of Judah, is doing this today. King of Jews, Jesus Christ, he's encouraging his priest. He's encouraging his saints, his children. Encouraging, he's not discouraging. He's encouraging because he was the Passover that was killed. And he is the king who ordered the Passover. And he is the high priest who is also the only one who could sacrifice. But he sacrificed himself. He is all in all, the king of Jews, the Passover lamb, and the one who encourages. He is all in all because he cannot be killed. He is the source of life. How can you contain life in death? Life will overpower. Death is a prison. Life cannot be contained. They put life inside the prison of death, knowing not he can be killed. It's like a volcano. He erupted from the ground and he resurrected. So now, verse 3 says, and he said unto the Levite that taught all Israel, which means who taught all Israel? Levites. He mentioned very clearly, he said unto the Levites that taught Israel. So the Israel were taught by who? Levites. Levites were they were located at the center of the camp. You are taught at the center of your life. The heart is where God sits, the teacher. And which were holy unto the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. How many of us feel so much tired, so much weary, as if that we are choked to death in doing the work of the Lord? It's so difficult to be a spiritual person, you see. Sometimes we exaggerate ourselves, thinking ourselves to be something that we are nothing. The king tells the priest, he says, it shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. The father-in-law of Moses, Jethro, tells Moses, this shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. It may destroy you. Delegate, distribute to 72 elders. It is 72, not 70. 12 tribes, 6 each, 72, always. So Moses delegated fellowship that it will not be a burden anymore. And king tells the priest, this shall not be a burden. Everyone should carry on the shoulder. Share the burden of the work of the Lord. And serve now the Lord your God and his people Israel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Apostle Paul says, do I exercise myself to avoid offense toward God and toward men? Because he can't separate. And that's exactly what Josiah says, Levites, you are called to serve God and his people. Sometimes we say, I only serve God, I only answer him, I don't care about the people. I don't want to have any friends. My brethren, without friends of Christ, there is no friend Christ. If we can't even be a friend to one another, how can we be a friend to him? He died for us, amen? He died for the family of God. We live for the family of God. We serve the family of God. And that is how we serve God, who is the head of the family. And he says here, and prepare yourselves by the houses of your fathers. Again, the king Josiah tells the Levite, remember the house you are from. And 1 Timothy chapter 5 and 3 says, the one who cannot even provide his very own house, he is worse than infidel. This is my house. Amen? This is your house, correct? The house of God, not your house, the three-bedroom HDB. This is your house, endless territory of God's mighty strong tower, spiritually. This is my house. If I can't even serve my people, what is that to give a profit? I go and serve every other people outside. But the Lord would say, what happened to your own house? Oh, you will take care of it. The Lord says, the Bible says, the one who does not provide his own house is worse than infidel. What is provision? Sending some financial support, that is nothing. How much support do you give to God Almighty? Everything he wants it. Your life as a living sacrifice, you give yourself not as a backsliding heifer, but Isaac, a promised son Isaac, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. That is your giving. I give myself. Whatever is profitable to my brethren, I will do it with joy and peace. Whatever is profitable to me, I consider it as dung. The enemy will remove you from your position, from your responsibility, from your desire, from your service, by telling he don't like you, she don't like you, he don't need you, she don't need you, your uncle hates you, your loved ones hate you, your colleague wants to fire you. He will throw so many tantrums in your ears so that he can remove your living sacrifice from the altar of sacrifice. When we are removed, the camp is not complete. When the camp is not complete, Moses will not take one step forward. Jesus will not move if the sheep is not inside the flock. He will go, he will leave all the flock, he will go for the missing sheep. Amen? Our life as a living sacrifice is the only way the big city will gain the strong tower. Now, here, Josiah died, but before he died, he did this wonderful, wonderful work for the Lord. Prepared the temple, kept the Passover. Then he got killed in the battle. But in the battle, God tells him through the mouth of Necho, I'm coming to take them as slave, move aside. Josiah said, no, I am God's anointed. God killed. Archers could kill him. But God tells Hezekiah, if I am standing with you, not a single arrow will land the city. All the arrows pierced Josiah. What happened to Prophet Isaac, Prophet Elijah? They that erred in faith pierced themselves with so many sorrows, arrows. They that deceived themselves pierced themselves with arrows. Now look at this. One verse, how he died, before he died. Verse 5, and stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the families of the fathers of your brethren. What? God is simply reading the chain of your train, like a different compartments. How we are all connected. And after the division of the families of the Levites, so kill the Passover and sanctify yourself and prepare your brethren. That is why the Passover was killed. Prepare your brethren. Edify, encourage, stand with one another. That they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. This Moses, you can't remove him. The word of the Lord, according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. After this, Josiah did a lot of preparations. Then he got himself killed in the battle. Our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, he was also killed in the battle. He also disguised himself. But this time, there was no Necho to come against Jesus, because no one can come against him. It was his own people who were screaming, crucify him, kill him. King Josiah, who prepared the Passover, who killed the Passover, who encouraged the priest, Jesus, who prepared himself as a Passover, encouraged the disciples, encouraged the people who followed him, told him, don't cry, cry for your people. He encouraged them all the days, every single moment. He was keep on encouraging them. When he was killed outside the city, as the sacrifice for all of us, the lamb that was slain, the blood that was shed for our sins, our iniquities, he disguised himself as a sinful man, a man of iniquities. But was he? No. So what is the meaning of disguised? Not the original version, but something like a deception. Jacob disguised himself like Esau by putting on a garment of hairy, which represents beastly nature. Beast will have hair, right? Like heifer. And Jacob was there, and Isaac touched, and he blessed Jacob in the place of Esau. What does it mean? It doesn't matter whether you are strong or weak or healthy or righteous or no doctrines or do not know or serve the Lord or not yet or how many years you serve the Lord, does not matter. If you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are blessed. If you are sealed by the Holy Ghost under the day of redemption, you are redeemed, you are saved. If not, gone. The true covering is outside. Him, the Lord himself. Inside, you can be the person who you are, weak. Obedience, understanding what happened in the land of Egypt when people entered the house. They were not smart. They were not wise. They do not know serpent and doctrine. They don't know anything. They don't know seven thunders. They don't know book of Revelation. They know nothing. God told them, go inside or I'll kill you. They were running for their lives. But in the wilderness, God told them, follow me diligently or I will kill you. They could not follow him. They respected King Pharaoh more than God himself, my dear brethren. They were scared of Pharaoh. Pharaoh gave them instruction. They were slaves working for one piece of meal per day. But when God gave them manna, they complained. God gave them promised land, they divided. They fought with one another. So now, Josiah died. A sepulchre was mentioned. Along with his fathers, he was buried. Now let's show you a sepulchre. I really want all of us to understand. When Jesus called Lazarus, come out of the tomb. Imagine Jesus Christ is the prosecutor or the judge. Lazarus is inside the prison for stealing money from the supermarket, or he's a thief, took something from your house. When Jesus goes, he tells the people in those area, those who are standing next to the tomb, he tells them, take the stone away, or roll the stone. Because in those days, even now you could see these different tombs. I'm showing some examples. There are wealthy families, poor families. They choose the tomb according to what they can afford. Different size, like a private apartment or government apartment, 3-bedroom, 5-bedroom. You can choose the size of tombs. Like Egyptian kings, they had a huge pyramid above the dead bodies, right? It's not about the luxurious of it, but look at the pattern of it. So, this rolling stone has to be rolled by a strong man, correct? You can't send a 10-year-old boy, he would be pushing it all his life. The man who has the strength, he could pull or roll the strong stone so that the dead body can go inside and they can seal it, correct? But they won't seal it until they complete the preparation inside. They will cover the body with linen clothing, put some spices. They have a lot of preparation in those days. After everything is done, they will have some sort of a ritual, they will close it. So when it is closed, for example, the dead body is on the bench where it is laid, and the rolling stone will cover the prison. Now, is there any window for breathing? Because the person is not breathing. He's not breathing, why you should put a window? If you put a window, it's a cave with a house. The book of Mark says the one who was possessed by demonic spirits, he was sleeping in the tombs with the dead bodies, hurting himself, cutting himself. He was naked, running here and there, but he was alive. He chose tomb to be his house, kept himself inside. He had no one around him. Do you remember? Because the whole city forsook him, because he was a bad, evil person. They were scared of him. He was forsaken outside the city. He was living. Nobody was there to love him. Nobody was there to hug him. Nobody was there to listen to him. What happening to you? You have anything to share with me? Everybody was busy in telling him, bad person, evil possessed, wrong man. So much sympathy, so much sentiment. May the Lord have mercy upon him. What about you? What about me? What we should do? You know, most of the time, people who struggle in the life, if you look at people in the bus or train, or in your life experience, those who struggle a lot, they do not need your advice. They do not need your preaching. They need you to listen to them, what they are going through. Let them spit out. If you are very busy in speaking nonstop, they will be overwhelmed. They won't open up. The deliverance is in them to speak, not in you to preach. Sometimes, not all the times. We need a leaning shoulder, listening ears, for them to be transparent. When they say it out loud, they are delivered from what they were holding deep inside. A tomb. Now this man is sealed inside a tomb. Now this rolling stone, my brethren, it cannot be opened from inside. That is the beauty of it. Why? There is no way you can hold it. because it is sealed from out, not open from in. Because you are dead anyway, you are not breathing. You are sealed inside. You are like a lunch parcel cannot be opened inside, a dead food, a dead meat. But this can be opened from outside, similar to this. There are different types, as I showed here. When Jesus Christ met Lazarus' family, he gave an instruction to them, take the stone away. But why he didn't take? Why he did not tell the disciples to take? He told the people who love Lazarus, who are crying for Lazarus, who are mourning for Lazarus, which means those who received the burden for Lazarus, he told them, if you truly love him, show me. Remove the stone that is stopping him from moving forward. Take the stumbling block away from his life. Then I will trust that you love him. Don't simply say, I pray for him. I pity him. Show me that you love him. Move the stone. When the stumbling block was removed, what left was Jesus to speak. He said, Lazarus, come out. Come on, man. Come out. Then the dead body, which was decaying, giving some bad smell, came out with the same filthy garment, same bad smell, but alive. He was alive. Then Jesus said, remove the garments, put on new garments, and now Lazarus will have to follow Christ. Amen? But those who removed the stone, they introduced the dead Lazarus to the Prince of Life, Jesus Christ. Witnessing, testifying. Without the burden for a soul, we can never bring anyone to the kingdom of God. But there are people who bring people to church, all the churches, because they want to increase the count. Last year we were 1,000, this year 1,200. 20% profit. Who is the strategy officer? Fire him, bring someone. Profitability. People count their spirituality, and God is smiling at them. Wow. God did not need thousands to bring forth a nation. He took Abraham, a single man. And God promised a single son, Isaac. And God used a single leader, Moses. All that God wanted was a single, empty, humble vessel. He can move the earth. He can move the mountains. So when the Lord called all of us, do not be bound inside a prison, he also called all of us, bring those who are inside the prison, bring them out. By opening the block or the seal for them to know who is Christ waiting to hug them. As the prodigal son who was eating the food of swine, he is nothing but dead body inside a tomb. When he stood up, the door was open. When the father came and hugged him. Now let's go to the next one. I showed you the wilderness where the Levites were at the center. Then 12 tribes of Israel were around the corner, right? East, west, north, south. Amen? Let's look at a figurative illustration of how a Jewish tomb will look like. Not all the tombs will look like. I'm taking an example to show you the tabernacle, temple of Jerusalem, the camp of Israel, the city of Jerusalem, the way the master constructs Ark of Noah. You would be surprised how the Lord positioned things, placed things, where. The Holy of Holies, the altar of incense, altar of sacrifice. We are going to go inside to see what kind of prison those things were all, whatever that God built. Now if you look at this prison, my brethren, this rolling stone will have a small stumbling block. For what? So that it won't roll. In case of earthquake or in case of some mishap, it will simply roll in close, right? A small stumbling block can stop the entire chariot. Am I correct? Imagine four wheels are rotating. Suddenly there's one pit. One of the wheels decides to go and taste the pit. Because of one, the whole chariot will be stuck. Now, the Lord says, if the chariot is running faster, if the Lord places a small stone, a stumbling stone, if the horse is going very fast, if the chariot hit that stone with that moment of inertia, the chariot will break. It happened to the Pharaohs, the army of Pharaoh, when the Lord struck the wheels of chariot. Amen? So when such a rolling stone is called to stay in a position, it can decide whether the tomb is open or it's closed. Amen? If I keep the rolling stone here, it is nothing but an entrance. I can go inside, prepare the body, say goodbye, come outside. But when I go inside, come on, someone go and take the small stone, it will roll inside, then I will be sealed inside a dead body. If nobody knows I'm inside, I will suffocate and die. I will suffocate and die. When Jesus sent the disciples to preach the gospel, did he send them one or two? He sent them 2 by 2. What the Lord says, always be careful of watching one another's back. He never told where there is one gathered in my name. He said where there are two or more gathered in my name. When one falls, it is woe unto him. When there is one more there, he will lift him up. Why? Book of Nehemiah says, the builders of the wall, they were building with one hand, and with one hand they were holding their weapon to resist the enemy. If the Lord used two children, for example Israel and Judah, he can use one of them to do the work of the Lord and use one of them to fight the enemies. He can choose which hand will serve, which will fight. But our duty is not to fight, but our duty is to build the wall. In doing so, we also fight the battle of righteousness. So now, if there is one waiting outside the sepulchre, if one goes inside, he can be a watchman for the one who goes inside, correct? Remember when Peter and another disciple ran faster to the sepulchre of Jesus, the one who reached first did not go inside. He waited for Peter to come. It was Peter who went inside and saw what happened. He could only see the garments of the Lord because he resurrected. The prisoner escaped, but the gate was not opened. Magic. No keys, no lock. There was a prisoner inside. They sealed him, opened him. Surprise, he's not there. He is risen. The prisoner is released, but he is not the prisoner. He is the one who delivers the prisoner. So now, the entrance to go inside, there is a pit to stand and prepare the body. And it's a bench to place and prepare the body for preparation. Central chamber, sometimes there could be a big, big tomb where there are family members buried in the same tomb. Or it could be a single tomb meant for only one person. Depends on the types, depends on different things. I hope you remember that it was Joseph, the man Joseph, who received the body of Christ, who wrapped him in the fine linen clothing, but he was not alone. The Lord sent him one more. Amen? So now, why I wanted to show the tomb. When Solomon built the temple, what was the purpose of the temple? For the Lord to dwell. For the people to witness God's glory. When the Lord called all of us to be sanctified, consecrated as a tabernacle, what is the purpose? For Jesus Christ to dwell. Which means a living word to be inside. Not the dead word. Faith without works is what? Dead. If I'm a faithful person, if inside my life my faith is dead, I'm a tomb. Whether it is open or closed, it does not matter. It's a tomb. The body is just lying on the floor. But if the faith is living in me, working in me, I cannot be called as a tomb. Because there will be a window and there will be a door, and the Lord will transform it into a house of the Lord. Amen? So now, let's stop this. So now, let me read a few verses before we close today. Different city, strong city we have seen. Let's turn our Bibles to Ezekiel. Who covers who? Book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. It comes straight after Lamentations. Jeremiah prophesies, Jeremiah cries, Ezekiel comes. Chapter 16, verse 8. Now, when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How we read this verse spiritually. Jesus Christ is walking in the gospel. And people are sick, sitting on the side of the road. People can't hear, can't speak, can't see. Leprosy, so much sickness, and they were harlots, were saved by the Lord as well. They were all called poor and needy. When they see Jesus, what they said, Son of David, deliver us. Son of David, come and heal us. So the Lord looked upon them when he passed by. He touched them. He made them whole. He healed them. By how? To receive him. All the sicknesses were blessed because it was meant to be there for them to receive Christ. The lame was blessed all his life because his lame will be removed when Peter and John comes. For that reason, his life of being lame, was beautiful. That is exactly what the Lord wants Israel to learn. Your 40 years of wilderness was beautiful because I was with thee. But you thought you were a lame, looking for a promised land. When the promised land was given, you became a Pharisee and Sadducee. Even the lame who was sitting outside the beautiful gate, the Bible says he was approximately 40 years old, a certain man who was lame for 40 years plus. So, my brethren, when the Lord says, you are mine, I love you, I take you as mine, as husbandman, the husbandman tells the wife, I cover thee. Amen? Only when the wife submits to the husband. If the wife does not submit, the wife is a backsliding heifer. A backsliding heifer would never be sacrificed. Why? Just keep on giving problem. That is why they keep many heifers and choose the one that simply walks like an innocent being. Even now, they don't have one. They have five. Why? They know among five, the Lord will show them which one to be sacrificed. The Urim and Thummim. Many are called, few are chosen. There are 10 women, but not all 10 were wise. Only 5. The rest 5 were foolish. So the double-edged sword will cut at the center. 5 will fall, 5 will arise. We have to be very careful in how we perceive ourselves to God Almighty. As children, to Father in spirit, heaven who is spirit. And as the bride, the wife of the Lamb. The word of God, which is the husbandman to all of us. Amen? My brethren, the word of God is our husbandman. We bow. Then we are a part of the word, which means the only way I shall escape is I must realize I am a part of the word which surpasses me, which covers me, and I am weak without him. Amen? I am weak without him. But Israel felt strong with him or without him. So now, look at verse 8, talks about the husband loves the wife. Verse 9, then I washed thee with the water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. Anointed thee with oil. That is verse 9. Now, let's continue with verse 32. Same chapter, verse 32. He says, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers, instead of her husband. Ezekiel 16:32. Good. Let's read same verse in Exodus 20:2. Same verse. If you understand Godhead. Same verse. Exodus 20:2. It says, verse 2, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 3. Amen. Now read that verse 32. Ezekiel says, as a wife that committed adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. Strangers instead of their husband. Other gods instead of their Lord thy God. That is Ezekiel 16:8-32. So, as we close, let's all stand and read this verse together with me. Isaiah 5:5. Remember the tomb, my dear brethren. The one who is called the Prince of Life was buried in the tomb for you and me. On the third day he arose. But there was one day he was completely in the Sheol for a purpose, a divine purpose, to open the door for all of us. And he left the prison without opening the door. Amen? That reminds me of Paul and Silas, who were also in the prison. There was an earthquake. Brethren prayed for them. The prison doors were opened. Foundations were shaken. Bands were loosened. And Paul and Silas did not leave the prison. Because they did not try to escape. They went there to preach the gospel to the prisoners and the prison keepers. Chapter 5, verse 5 to 7. Isaiah is one chapter below, one book before, book of Jeremiah. Chapter 5, verse 5 to 7, yes. And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come a briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. That's exactly what book of Jeremiah said, right? The Lord withheld the rain. Verse 7, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is a vineyard, not the land of Israel, my brethren. House of Israel is the vineyard of the Lord. And the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. Woe unto them that join house to house, that they fled to fled, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. The whole earth could become a tomb if the Lord can throw us alone. In mine years, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an homer shall yield an ephah. The Lord says, not by power, not by strength, not by might, but by the Spirit of God. When the Lord reminded us that He is our husbandman, you are mine, I pray the Lord help us that we are a strong city when we realize that He is our husbandman. He covers us. But let's not forget our weaknesses. Let's remember who we are and how we were. That is how Moses kept himself humble. That is how Apostle Paul kept himself humble. That is how Jeremiah kept himself humble. That is how the great God of heaven was able to work in the midst of them. Amen. The Lord will help us. We will continue next week. The Lord bless you all richly. Amen. Shalom. Let me close with a prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Baruch Haba Bershem Adonai. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your name in our life. Thank you, Lord, for the wife receives the name of the husband. Thank you, Lord, that we are all the wife of the Lamb. The Lamb that was slain for our sins, our iniquities, on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, if the Lamb that was slain, and if we are all the wife of the Lamb, you also call all of us, O Lord, to be a living sacrifice. Not as a backsliding heifer, but as a sacrificial lamb, that is the wife of the Lamb, that sacrificed everything for the groom. And Lord, we pray, may you help us, Lord, that we learn from Aaron and Moses, who led the people of Israel in wilderness. And Lord, may you bless us, Lord, that we learn from King Josiah and Prophet Jeremiah, who also led the people from the liberty into the captivity. Because, Lord, you are the door. You can move us from the season to season, from autumn to winter, winter to summer, from liberty to captivity, from sickness to joy, from joy to sickness, from mountain to valley, from valley to mountain, from success to failure, and failure to success. But Lord, your ultimate goal is to move all of us from death to life, which is to find you and to live with you forever and ever, O Lord. Until then, O Lord, may you bless us, that we understand that you are refining us, forging us through water and fire. Help us, Lord, that we remain as a prisoner of Christ in the Word of God, bound by the Word of God, sealed by the Word of God, like how Noah was shut in the Ark of Noah and the door was shut by God. The same way the dead body that was pushed inside the tomb It was shut outside by the man who is standing outside. Lord, the old man, oh Lord, should not come out of Father in heaven. It must be the new man who is called, like how you call Lazarus, come out. Change the garment to live the life for you, to be your children, oh Lord, to be your bride, to be your wife, oh Lord. Lord, we pray, may you help us to continue to learn from the words prison, gate, window and door. And you are the door and you are the strong tower and you are our everything, oh Lord. We pray for one another. May you edify and encourage one another, oh Lord, in the midst of us. May you bless us, Lord, that we are incomplete without one another. For we are the family and you have pitched this tent in this part of the wilderness of Southeast. And Lord, we are reminded by thy word to be a blessing to the house where we are planted, to the vineyard where we are planted. For the house of Israel is the vineyard of the Lord. And blessed be your holy name. You are the Holy One of Israel and the Mighty One of Israel. And you are the Holy One of our church and the Mighty One of our church. And we are, O Lord, your vineyard. May you bless us that we bring the fruits to thee. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name, we bless one another and we say shalom. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.